Selfie by Will Storr. Read by Jack Hawkins. For Charles Whitman, who was right. Day or night, it's always true, the kingdom lives inside of you. When you say these words 3 times in a row, I'm lovable, I'm lovable, I'm lovable, your lovable self will magically grow. Diane Lumens, The Lovables in the Kingdom of Self-Esteem, 1991. I am done with the monster of we, the word of serfdom, of plundery, of misery, falsehood and shame. And now I see the face of God, and I raise this God over the earth, this God whom men have sought since men came into being, this God who will grant them joy and peace and pride. This God, this one word, I. Ayn Rand, Anthem, 1931. A note on the text. A significant part of this book concerns differences between groups of people. Sometimes generations are compared, at other times cultures. It's important to stress that these are always general tendencies that academics have detected across large numbers of people. In the real world, there is a huge variation amongst individuals, and no general observation about a specific group can ever be reduced to an observation about any particular person. Book Zero, The Dying Self. At first, there was nothing. She was a person tied to a bed, and that was all. No memories, no thoughts, only strange sounds, electronic beeps, a soft mechanical drone. And then, emerging from the haze, a voice. Can you tell me what this is? Something was floating in front of her. A pen? She said. In gauzy glimpses of awareness, she'd recognize shapes in the room, a bed, a chair, but somehow she was unable to turn all the individual pieces into a whole connected scene. Human forms would stand over her and tell her they knew her, but she had no idea who she was. She didn't know it was the second week of June 2007, or that she was 43 years old, or that she was Debbie Hampton from Greensboro, North Carolina. At some point, however, she did come to understand the fundamental facts of her predicament. She was alive, and she was furious about it. A few days previously, Debbie had taken an overdose of over 90 pills, a combination of 10 different prescription drugs, some of which she'd stolen from a neighbour's bedside cabinet. Ever since she'd been the gangly girl that everyone at school called Monkey, Debbie had suffered from low self-esteem. Her childhood had not been easy. My parents got divorced when I was 16, she told me, and I vowed, then and there, that I would never do that to my children. When she was 21, she married her childhood sweetheart, and they quickly had children. She was determined to become the woman of his dreams. My husband's mom was the epitome of the perfect mother and wife. She stayed at home, raised the kids, was a wonderful cook, was crafty. She was what I wanted to be. But as hard as she tried, Debbie couldn't be that woman. The life of the housewife bored her. I wasn't a pleasant person to be around. I was angry. The marriage ended. And so there she was, the single mother she swore she'd never be. She began dating, but it didn't go well. I literally saw my youngest son sit in the middle of the hall crying big tears because he wanted a real dad. As a child, Debbie had always tried to be the person her mother wanted her to be. As an adult, she'd struggled to be the person she imagined her husband desired. All her life, she'd been chasing that dream of perfection, and all her life, her dream of perfection had dodged her grasp. What she felt like now was a failure. My thoughts were, you're not a good enough mother. You'll never be able to earn money. You're getting older. You'll never get a man and please him. On the 6th of June 2007, at around 11 o'clock,